This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, and this is Archer Radio for Tuesday, August 29th, 2006. And let me tell you, I am extremely tired. I started work today, and, well, I went back to work today, and I had to get up at the ass crack of dawn. I got up at 5 a.m. Oh, my God. I was dragging my ass out of bed when the alarm was going off, and was like fumbling around because I'm not used to getting up this early. As I was mentioning, I usually in the summertime I've been sleeping late, but oh my God, getting up today was just a killer. So of course I drag my ass out of bed and do all my shit and get to work at about 7:30 or something like that. I don't remember exactly. And this first day back is always filled with meetings, so we spent most of the day in meetings, and I'm already sick of working. I don't want to work anymore. I have got to win the fucking lottery because I can't take it. It's very tiring and just too much stuff to do. And I don't know. Like, I already have a ton of work to do tonight before I get my ass in bed. And it's just too fucking much. I know I'm going to be dead tired. And some of the things that I was really frustrated with last year that I thought were going to change this year are not changing. For example, I have the exact same schedule as I did last year, which was a killer schedule, and I have the same amount of students as last year, which I thought was going to go down this year, and it did not. And some of the same old shit, you know, is coming back, and I'm just like, oh fuck, who's calling me? I don't know who it is. Oh, it's Homer. Homer, why do you always call during my podcast recordings? That will stop in just a minute. I don't even know if you can hear that phone, but it's ringing, and it's Homer. And he will leave a message, I'm sure, and I will try to call him back, but I'll talk with him later. Anyway, I was talking about the first day back to work, and as you can probably tell from my voice, I'm very tired. My legs actually hurt today. Well, not like hurt, they like ache from too much running around. Excuse me. But, so what was I saying? Kind of got distracted. Homer, your phone call totally distracted me. But anyway, let's go on to news items that I heard today and make some comments about some things. Well, I should say this. When I'm back at work, I don't have any time during the day to keep track of the news or what's going on. And not disappoints me, but I get like, what's going on? I want to know what's going on, and sure, you know, I'd like to hear if there's anything going on in the news. So that's why I really enjoy watching the news when I get home. So of course I watch the news, and not the very first thing, but one of the first things that was on there was that the guy who they had thought killed JonBenet Ramsey is not going to be charged in the charged with her murder. And actually, I went to CNN.com and found this little article about it, and it says, school teacher John Mark Carr will not be charged with the murder of 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey, Carr's attorney said on Monday. The warrant on Mr. Carr has been dropped by the district attorney, public defender Seth Temin said outside the jail. They are not proceeding with the case. Okay, now, my first question is, why not? Isn't there overwhelming evidence saying that that he would be charged? Well, no. It says he said a hearing scheduled later Monday afternoon has been canceled. Temin also said that he was deeply disturbed that authorities in Boulder brought Carr from Thailand with what appears to have been scant evidence. Colorado authorities have not commented on their decision not to pursue charges against the man named in the warrant alleging murder, kidnapping, and sexual assault on a child. But CNN's Denver affiliate, KUSA, reported that the DNA sample taken from Carr does not match the DNA found on JonBenet's body. KUSA quoted two sources in the bulletin on its website. KUSA reported that samples of Carr's saliva and hair were taken in Boulder after his arrival Thursday evening. Those samples were tested over the weekend by the Denver Police Department's crime lab. Those tests ruled out Carr's DNA as the foreign DNA left on JonBenet's body when she was slain in December 1996, the station reported on its website. Now I'm going to stop reading this because you already know the whole story of John Carr. But now it comes my commentary on this whole thing. I think I mentioned this before on the podcast that when this was first broken that supposedly they found this guy in Thailand who admitted to the murder, I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't think so. This guy just is like a wacko. Oh fuck, hold on a second. All right, I am back. I know what was a split second for you was 30 minutes for me. I don't know if you could hear that, but there was a knock at my door, and I had to go find out who was at the door. Excuse me. As it turns out, it was an ex of mine and his current boyfriend. They just happened to be in the neighborhood, so they stopped by to chat and say hello. And of course, I look like shit, and my house is a mess, and I wasn't ready to receive visitors, but I invited them in, and we sat down and chatted for a while. This is the guy who forgot my birthday back in May, but and I gave him a hard time about it. So anyway, that's what that was all about. I don't know if you heard the knock on the door at all, but that's what that was. So anyway, I'm back, and I was talking about the John Carr not being charged with anything, and I was saying that, at least I think I was saying that that when it first happened, that when I was listening to all that on that first day, I was thinking, this guy's, he's just crazy. It's not, he didn't do it. He just wants attention. Or he wants out of Thailand so that he won't be charged with child sex crimes in Thailand, because I think it's a lot worse in terms of the legal system there than it is here. So anyway, I guess the point is that I never thought he was guilty from day one, from the beginning of this whole fiasco. And I was not surprised at all that he was not charged today, because he was all about getting his name out there, I think. Anyway, enough about that. Now, there's a couple more things in the news that I thought were interesting today. Not necessarily today, but... let's go on to another topic. Does anybody remember the name Catherine Harris? Well, you might remember her from the 2000 election, because she was the one who had to certify the votes in Florida during all that election nonsense back in 2000. Well, today on CNN.com, which was really reported by the Associated Press, I found an article about her that I thought was strange and crazy. I believe she's running for, it says, let me just read this article. U.S. Representative Catherine Harris told a religious journal that separation of church and state is a lie, and that God and the nation's founding fathers did not intend the country to be a nation of secular laws. Now, lady, you're just, this is me, not the article talking now. I think she's totally fucked up. Of course the founding fathers meant it to be secular laws. That was the whole point of not naming one religion in the Constitution and so forth. Anyway, it goes on to say, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate also said that if Christians are not elected, politicians will legislate sin, including abortion and gay marriage. Harris made the comments, which she clarified Saturday, in the Florida Baptist Witness, the weekly journal of the Florida Baptist State Convention, which interviewed political candidates and asked them about religion and their positions on issues. Separation of church and state is a lie we have been told, Harris said in the interview, published Thursday, saying separating religion and politics is wrong because God is the one who chooses our rulers. Can you fucking believe that if she truly believes this, then she is totally whacked out. God chooses our rulers? I mean, what is that about? If that's the case, then how can she justify all of the Democrats or even not non-religious people, but people who don't believe the same way she does. If that's the case, then God's making some bad choices, and especially now with Bush in office. Anyway, moving on in the article, it says, if you're not electing Christians, then in essence, you are going to legislate sin, Harris said. Her comments drew criticism, including some from fellow Republicans who called them offensive and not representative of the party. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a Democrat from Florida who is Jewish, told the Orlando Sentinel that she was disgusted by the comments. Harris's campaign released a statement Saturday saying she had been speaking to a Christian audience, addressing a common misperception that people of faith should not be actively involved in government. The comments reflected her deep grounding in Judeo-Christian values, the statement said, adding that Harris had previously supported pro-Israel legislation and legislation recognizing the Holocaust. Harris's opponents in the GOP primary also gave interviews to the Florida Baptist Witness, but made more general statements on their faith. Harris, 49, faced widespread criticism for her role overseeing the 2000 presidential recount as Florida's Secretary of State. State GOP leaders, including Governor Jeb Bush, don't think she can win against Democratic Senator Bill Nelson in November. Fundraising has lagged, frustrated campaign workers have defected in droves, and the issues have been overshadowed by news of her dealings with a corrupt defense contractor who gave her $32,000 in illegal campaign contributions. Well, that right there ought to tell you that she does not, well, this is me now again, that she shouldn't even be in the race to begin with, because anybody who has those radical views will not be elected. And especially with her corrupt dealings with financing her campaign, she shouldn't be even in there. You know, and the lady, I knew back then she was nuts, and I still think she's nuts. And I'm sure, well, except for a couple of people, I think everyone would agree that her statements and comments are outrageous, and she needs to apologize, I think. So that's Catherine Harris, and I think she pretty much put the last nail in her coffin. She won't be elected in November, which will be a good thing because we need more Democrats in the Senate. Anyway, okay, moving on. The next thing is that Bush visited Mississippi today because, as you know, today, today, August 29th, is the one-year anniversary of Katrina. So on Monday, Bush went to Mississippi. I'm not reading anything, I'm just talking about this. And he revisited the same sites that he went to on that first day that he finally arrived to view the damage a year ago. And supposedly tomorrow he is going to, well, that would be today, I should say, he's going to go to New Orleans and visit some of the same places and see the damage and so forth. So we'll see how that, of course, he will be covered on the news like everything else, and everyone is having Katrina year updates and so forth on the news, like ABC News reported tonight from New Orleans. Was it New Orleans? Yeah, New Orleans. So we have all that going on, but and right in as the year anniversary is going, I mentioned this yesterday, Ernesto is brewing itself up in the down by Florida. Well, right now it's over Cuba. But, you know, I was mentioning yesterday on the show that they update the path of this storm every 12 hours or so, and the last update now has it going completely over the middle of the state of Florida, like slamming into Miami, and kind of like riding up the coast and then going back out over the ocean just before it hits South Carolina. And then, if it goes as they're predicting now, it will be in the Washington, D.C. area on Saturday as a strong tropical storm, they're saying, because they at least they're saying. Of course, see, this is all conjecture because they don't really know what it's going to do. But they think once it leaves Cuba, it's going to pick up strength and maybe turn back into a hurricane before it hits Florida, and then it'll become a tropical depression again, or tropical storm, and then once it goes back over the ocean, it will strengthen again before it hits into South Carolina. So it'll probably be a tropical storm before it comes here to the D.C. area. Although I have to say I'm not taping up my windows or going out and buying water or anything, because by the time it gets here, it'll be mostly rain and probably not too high of winds. My boyfriend is probably getting a little nervous about it, but One thing's for sure, he is definitely feeling much better about it not going towards New Orleans or Louisiana or anywhere near that area. So Ernesto is certainly giving everybody stress and time to think about what they're going to do. I was reading on the little FattyCast website today that they have that they did not record a show because they've already shut down the mines there because of the hurricane coming. And it's still like 3 or 4 days out, so I don't know what that's about. But I know that Florida is definitely, what's the term, evacuating, because that's where it's going to be hitting first. Anyway, enough about Ernesto. Let's move on to messages from listeners. We got an email message from Travis, and I believe Travis said he wants me to explain the rules of Big Brother. He says, I don't watch it, and I think your updates would make more sense to me if I understood what the rules of the show are. So, Travis, let me try to give you a little, I don't know if that I know the exact rules, but basically what this is, Travis, is there are, I think it was 12 people who went into a house, and they have no access to outside news or no telephone, no TV, no radio, no internet connection, nothing. And they have to live in this house for, I think it's like 3 months, something like that. Each week, the person who wins head of household, which is a competition that they go through, and the person wins the head of household, they get a special room, and they have to nominate two people in the house for eviction. And then a couple days later, they hold a power of veto competition, which is some kind of game that they do. And the person who wins the power of veto is able to take one of the nominated people off of the eviction block. And then the head of household has to put up somebody else. Lately, it seems like the person who wins the power of veto has been the person who is on the eviction block. So they've been taking themselves off the eviction block, and therefore the head of household has to put somebody else up. So then, a couple days later, they have a live show where the rest of the house guests have to vote who they want to be evicted. So once a week, and sometimes twice a week, but usually once a week, one person is kicked out of the house. And basically, by the end of the season, it comes down to two people. And then the jury, which is the people who have been voted off, at least the last couple of them, decide who should win. They then, you know, it's like a vote. They vote who should win the prize. I think it's $500,000. So it, I hope, does that explain it for you, Travis? I'm not sure if it does or not. In terms of the rules, I'm not really sure what the rules, you know, specific rules are, but that basically gives you, I think I explained it pretty well, of what goes on the Big Brother and how the whole game works. So I hope that explains it for you. And then Travis in his email went on to ask about the MacBook, how the MacBook is holding up and does it have a smudgy screen. And actually, Travis, the MacBook is holding up very well. I do have, it is the glossy screen, but I do my best not to touch the screen, so I keep it pretty clean and shiny. And then Travis gave me some advice about completely erasing my hard drive using a program that will delete all the files when I, because he remembers me going to sell my laptops on eBay. And Travis, what you explained is exactly what I did. I used a different program to completely erase the hard drive, and then I just reinstalled the system software back to factory settings so that none of my stuff would be on there. So I did that before selling them on eBay. And speaking of selling them on eBay, that's interesting that you brought up that topic, is today I got a check from Snappy Auctions, who I sold my lap, you know, they take care of putting it on eBay for me, and I got a check for $272 for two of my laptops that sold, and I'm expecting another check from the big laptop that sold. I don't know when that will be coming, though, so I have to wait, but I definitely got a check back from them. And then, so thank you for the email, Travis, And I think we got some comments on the website too, but I know I haven't talked about the comments, people commenting lately. You know, my website has been loading slow today. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but it definitely has been. Last week we got comments about the Big Brother talk from Kelvin, from Vincent, from Adam, from Mike Hip. And we got comments on the Bruce Hornsby concert from Friday show from Calvin and Narik. Narik gave us some information about dwarf planets. Remember, Pluto was downgraded from a planet, so it's a dwarf planet. And he gave us a link to a Wikipedia article about that. So check out that on the comments. And then from Monday's show, I got a comment from Mike Hip. Oh, yeah, that's right. Mike Hip was saying that it would be okay if I post my shows between 5 and 5:30 a.m., that he'll be able to get them, because I had mentioned that the timing was going to be changing for when I post the shows, and so he commented that it would be okay that he'd still be able to get them. So, good for you, Mike. I'm glad to hear that. Then he also talked about Big Brother, and there's no Big Brother on tonight, so I won't be talking about Big Brother, but Tuesday's show should be interesting to see who wins the power of veto. Okay, boys and girls, I'm getting tired, and I'm going to... Oh, no, wait a minute, I have one more thing. I got my Chingo message from Remarkably Mark, and I'll play that in just a second. Actually, let me go ahead and play that now, and then I will mention about what he's talking about. So listen to this message from Remarkably Mark.
Hey, Archer, it's Marky Mark, just calling to say howdy-ho, and I listened to your last couple podcasts this weekend. It's so great to have the boyfriend back, and your banter, the two of you, is always so funny and refreshing. And I think, yes, it's true that you could call it either improvisation or jamming, but the sad truth about most of those concerts is that they're neither, really. Yeah, I guess properly speaking, they're jamming, but they do the same exact jam and the same exact length of time at every single concert. You know, that's, you know, usually what happens when with written songs like that, with certainly rock and roll. Pure jazz men, on the other hand, would completely improvise. I mean, they would basically give a rough framework to each other. They just say, hey, let's jam in A, you know, in the key of A, and then they go for it, and everything really would be purely improvisational. But I fear that most of these rock concerts, they gave the same exact quote-unquote improvisation the night before. Anyway, just thought I'd say howdy-ho and my love to the BF. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that's the message from Remarkably Mark. Thank you, Mark, for calling. And he says that you could... because he was talking about the concert that the boyfriend and I were talking about, the way that people play the music, and that it's either a jam or it's improvisation. But I didn't realize, Mark, that they probably play the exact same kind of jam session at every concert they do. You know, that totally slipped my mind. I didn't even think about that. But hearing you say that totally makes sense, and I probably should have guessed that. But of course, they do these concerts all the time, so of course they already know what the jam part of it's going to be, and they should know that. Anyway, so thank you for the message, Mark, and I encourage everyone else to go to the website and leave a My Chingo message. We haven't been getting too many lately. Or call the listener line, and I don't know what that number is. I think it's 206-666-1876. That's what it is. Okay, boys and girls, that's all for today. Tune in tomorrow for another show. So, until next time, boys and girls... Bye.
Archer Radio.